Tasmania Talks with Mike O'Loughlin, weekday mornings from 9.
Now, yesterday, the Tasmanian government said, together with the Parliament, unreservedly apologises to all victim survivors of child sexual abuse in Tasmanian government institutions. Members of the Parliament of Tasmania stand united in this House today, says this apology. We have failed you. We are all accountable and we are sorry. To talk more on that, who better to talk about the apology to victim survivors of institutional child sexual abuse than to Leanne McLean, the Commissioner for Children and Young People. Leanne, a pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike, and good morning to all your listeners.
Really important day. I mean, your thoughts on the apology?
Oh, Mike, I was in Parliament for the apology, sitting in the long room amongst quite a large group of victim survivors, and I think it's fair to say that the emotion in the room was quite palpable. You could feel the energy of that emotion, and at the point that the apology was initially made by the Premier and then again followed up by other leaders, there were certainly people in the room who really felt the weight and the emotion of that. A very significant day for many victim survivors, and an appropriate day in that it was a government, a state, it was leaders, it were politicians, past, present, who were really taking the full accountability for what has occurred. And that, I think, is something that we should see more governments doing more often.
Well, to see the Premier, Jeremy Rockliffe, read that, it is a lot lengthier than just the short part that I read out. I mean, but also apologising for the potential, this is, I quote again from that apology, we apologise for the potential that has been lost and the things that were stolen from you and you can never get back. And that my answer to that, never a truer word's been spoken in that regard. And also it goes on to say, you're also let down by the system. That is so true. Rebecca White, I know Labor leader Rebecca White said there was no matter of greater importance than child safety. And I think we can all agree on that.
We absolutely can. And in particular, those points that leaders made that pointed to the robbing of childhood and the loss of potential and the difficulties that people have faced throughout their lives as a result of the injustices that happened to them as a child, received, I think, of all of my observations, people in the room were so appreciative that that was a part of the apology. I think the thing that, you know, Tasmanians are learning as we go through what is a terrible journey for us all to go through, but really nothing in comparison to the journey that victim survivors have been on, is the extraordinary lifelong impact of abuse when you are a child. And, you know, I cannot speak from the perspective of a victim survivor, Mike, because I'm not one, and every victim survivor has their own journey. And there are some people who were not at the apology, and there are some people who did not feel the apology was appropriate, and I completely respect their view. But I think, I think that the sincerity that I heard come from all of the five members who spoke yesterday, who represent, you know, the leadership and the independence of the Tasmanian Parliament, it was real. It felt very real. And the leaders I spoke to afterwards, I had a conversation with both Rebecca White and Cassie O'Connor in the mingling afterwards, and everybody was very moved by the day and was very keen to ensure that people really understood how sincere they were and how committed they are to changing the system so that we have the best system in the country. Now, as an advocate, that's music to my ears, because that's something that I will hold the Parliament to account to as the changes that we so desperately need begin to flow into our Parliament. And not only do they need to be approved by the Parliament, Mike, the government need to fund their appropriate implementation.
Oh, correct.
So the fact that we're even having that conversation now is excellent. As I've said to you in the past, it is late. We should have got on with this a long time ago, but we now have an opportunity to shift from words to action and shape the best system that we possibly can, not only in Australia, but in the world for our children.
Interesting, though, isn't it, when you can also read today, I was reading the Mercury, and I quote, I think it writes Tiffany Skeggs from the Mercury, tokenistic and ill-informed, a tripartisan apology devoid of integrity, insight and compassion, date debacles as a direct result of a complete lack of appropriate consultation, just further evidence of an abusive system, a system that serves a continuation of an abuse cycle against some of the most vulnerable members of our community. You can't get much stronger than that.
No, you can't. I read it this morning, and I think what Ms. Skeggs's words represent is the gap in trust between many of the people of Tasmania and the systems that are there to support them, and in the case of children, to keep them safe. The result of the fact that we have now discovered, acknowledged and apologised for the atrocities and the abuse of the past is that we now need to swallow the very bitter reality that the people of Tasmania, many of them do not trust the government to keep their children safe. And that is why we need really, really well-funded, well-established and independent oversight mechanisms to help to build that trust back.
It's interesting, isn't it, though, when you do read how I think, you know, it's, yes, better late than never, but the fact is it's happened. I agree that we need the funding. But then again, reading on, I'll quote again from the press, not everyone was content with the apology. One woman who asked to remain anonymous just said she felt it was just all words. They are saying a big apology. They are sweeping over everything once again, but they're not actually making a change to the system. She said, last I checked, Ashley was still open and there are still girls in there and there is no date to close it. Interesting point, Leanne.
Well, there is no specific date to close. Actually, I completely agree. And I understand the sentiment of that person who I also read in the Mercury this morning. And as an advocate who, you know, has been banging on about the rights of children and the need for systemic change and child-safe organisations for some time, remembering I've been the commissioner for 4 years and then commissioners prior to me were banging on about it as well. I think a level of cynicism is to be expected. Absolutely. I think the difference between where we are now and where we have been in the past is that yesterday the Parliament took accountability and yesterday the Parliament said that we will have the best system in the country and that every member in that Parliament is committed to making sure that we get there. So what that says to me is that as these bills that people like me are being consulted on at the moment, the legislation to shape our new system start to flow through to Parliament, I expect nothing less than the highest standard of human rights applied to every single one of those pieces of legislation and then appropriate funding flowing to support their implementation.
Cannot argue with a word. I know that also there are, as I was reading, there are an array of issues that still need to be addressed in order to ensure the protection of Tasmanian children from abuse, according to the sister of the young girl who was assaulted by a doctor at the Launceston General Hospital. And that story in itself was gut-wrenching. Then there's so many more stories. I mean, I won't go on about it. I'm sure people are aware of it. But there's so many stories that we haven't really, well, I guess we've just scratched the surface.
We have. And in scratching the surface, we've discovered a litany of failures. So I think we know what would be there beneath the surface, Mike, and that the person who made that statement yesterday is right. We don't have those systems yet. They're currently being developed. So what we will have tabled in Parliament before the end of the year, I hope, and that is the commitment, is a piece of legislation to establish a child-safe organisations system. So if you think what WorkSafe means for the safety of employees in a workplace, now we will have ChildSafe for the safety of children in any organisation that's delivering services to children. So that means that people will need to demonstrate to an independent regulator that their organisation is safe for children and they have all of the structures in place to ensure that is the case.
When will we see Leanne? Speaking, by the way, with Leanne McLean, Commissioner for Children and Young People, and Leanne, we've spoken many times about this one, the three new institutions that the government had said way back in Peter Gutman's time that we'll have, and Ashley, etc. What's the update on that?
Well, the update on Ashley is that while efforts are being made to get more staff in and stabilise things on the ground, we haven't yet seen, although I hope we're starting to see change for the young people who are actually residing there at the moment. Young people are still going in and out of lockdown at Ashley's detention centre, depending on the levels of staffing that are there each day. And that obviously poses a risk, I think, to their human rights and the state's ability to uphold their rights under the United Nations Convention. There is absolute agreement that Ashley Youth Detention Centre needs to close as soon as possible. What we're all waiting on is a blueprint from the government that actually shows us what the system is going to look like into the future. And while that is happening, we need to make sure that there are enough staff on the ground at Ashley Youth Detention Centre every day who are appropriately trained and lift the therapeutic focus of the facility until it is closed. My understanding is it will close in 2024. I don't have an exact date. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, I heard 2024. No, same here. I, as much as I can go in, and I can't find a date.
No, I don't think there is one that has been made publicly available. It may be that the release of the blueprint that the government have been working on provides more clarity on that. There are a range of things that we're waiting on, and I think... I've obviously been involved in the consultation on that blueprint, and my very strong advice to government in developing it is you've got to have the rights of children at the centre of that document. And we have to make sure the systems and structures that that blueprint is putting in place for the next 10 years, this is about how we support our children who are really struggling and who are in trouble for the next 10 years. Need to be visionary, they need to be human rights aligned, and we need to be really innovative here.
And perhaps change a mindset.
What we've always been doing.
And perhaps, Leanne, change a mindset. I know you've put it quite succinctly. It is never the fault of a child that they are abused.
That is absolutely right, Mike. And it is often not the fault of a child that they end up in a situation where they are undertaking harmful and risky behaviour. Often that can be the result of abuse. Mm. We're so quick to blame as a society. And in the case of our youth justice system, for example, we're very, very quick to blame children for their behaviour. I'm not saying we shouldn't hold children accountable for their behaviour, but we should do so in a way that supports them to change their behaviour. And that is what will give us a safer community, a safer society into the future.
It is interesting as well as part of Jeremy Rockliffe's apology, the Premier, he does say, Mr. Speaker, I believe it is also important for everyone listening today to understand that child safety is everyone's responsibility. If you have a concern about a child, when your feelings or intuition tells you something isn't right, do not hesitate. Take action. No concern is too minor. Silence allows abuse to continue. So please report your concerns. It is only by working together with a shared sense of purpose that we will make Tasmania a safer place for all.
I completely agree, Mike. We all, our children across Tasmania are our greatest asset. Our greatest resource. They are our future. Not that it rests on their shoulders alone, but we can do it together. A lot of people say or measure the success of a society in economic terms. The economy is the best it's ever been, and that shows that we're successful. The real measure of the success of our society is how well we look after our next generation. And we all have an obligation to do that, all of us. And I absolutely agree with what the Premier said yesterday. I think some of the challenges we have in espousing that to the community is, do we have the systems and the structures in place to support that approach? And I think many people would say we don't. I would agree with them. And my focus is very much on making sure we do. I want Tasmania to have the best system in the world for protecting children and keeping them safe. And I think we can, as long as it is appropriately legislated and appropriately funded, and we can get on and do it.
Your strong words are always taken in by government. I tend to think they listen. I don't know that they sometimes act. But I know that you've said also the abuse of a child in a state institution is a gross betrayal of their trust, the trust of their family and the entire community.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think I'm not the only person to say that. I think very similar sentiments have been echoed through the Commission of Inquiry, but in particular in relation to areas in out-of-home care and in youth justice. When the state makes a decision to take over the parenting of a child, which is what they do in these situations, they become the guardian. The obligation rests with them to uphold the rights of that child and to keep them safe. And there have been so many instances in Tasmania where that has not occurred. To add to that, Mike, I'm not convinced we've got the systems and structures in place yet that we need to ensure that it stops happening.
I agree. It is, you know, an important document, an important speech. Also, when in the Premier said, I want to recognise those victims who tragically are no longer with us. We remember them and extend this apology to their families and friends. And to you all, I say, I have listened and I have learned. And over the past 8 months throughout this inquiry, we have heard about a very dark chapter in Tasmania's history. I think it's going to be ongoing. I think it's wonderful that that apology occurred. I think it'll be well received. But I think as well as Tiffany wrote and others, there will be comments. And I think it'll be interesting to see how some of the political feedback washes through the system and if, you know, what others actually say to some of their compatriots at work and how they really feel after the next day or so, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I do. And I think for some people, the processing of additional information, including an apology, it takes time. It's not something that you can sum up your experience of within even a, you know, within a day or within a week. These things take time for us to process as humans, and we all do it at a different rate. There are some people who are angry, Mike, and if, you know, victim survivors of abuse who remain angry, and they will likely remain angry and disappointed for some time, and we need to sit with them in that, go on that journey with them to help them continue to express their concern and help to shape the system that we have in the future.
It must be disappointing, though, Leanne, when you see that how just the shortage of staff we have on so many important levels, mental health, health in general, teaching, teacher's aides, all of that that can help children, and we just don't have the staff. We don't have the people.
Mike, in my view, this is one of the biggest risks, one of the biggest potential crises that Tasmania has ever faced. When you look at our population, where we are headed, the needs of our children, and then you weigh that up with the skills and the supports that we have available on the ground to help them, I am very, very concerned about what that means for the health of our children into the future. I hear from people working in early years education about how difficult it is on the ground to get access to supports. I hear from people who are caring for children with a disability, trying to navigate extraordinarily complex systems. I hear from people who are literally waiting years to get the diagnostic services that they need to ensure that their children can access the services that they need. These are fundamental problems in our system that we have got to address. And there is a thing at the centre of them, and that is people and their ability to develop and have the skills they need to do the jobs that we need to care for our people. And I think that needs to be at the absolute top of the agenda of governments, of universities, of training institutions, to make sure that we can look after the next generation of Tasmanians, as well as those who are already adults.
Leanne, it's such a pleasure speaking with you. I love listening to your accurate comments in regard to and the fact that we've had the apology. I think that was such a necessary and a, now the follow-up, it'll be very interesting, but I'm so sure down the track we'll have another chat. Leanne McLean's the Commissioner for Children and Young People. Leanne, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Good to talk to you. If you have any comments, 1300 88 1012 or text, of course, 0448 30 1012.
Tasmania Talks with Mike O'Loughlin, weekday mornings from 9.